for saving my soul, for saving me. I thank the Lord for, you know, keeping me, you know, throughout all of this. And not just this, you know, it was things in the past that God had kept me from. And God is just good. Thank the Lord for hearing. Seeing Brother Donald and sister here. And, you know, I want to say this. I don't want to offend nobody. I'm just trying to obey the ruler, especially of this house. You know, I don't mind embracing, but the word is that we're supposed to social distance. So I'll shake your hand. You know, I want to be the first partaker of the fruit. Whatever pastor, whatever, you know, God tell her to do, I'm supposed to be the first one, you know, say, that's right. You know, I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm going to follow her instructions, you know, obey them that have rule over you and whose face follow. And so I want to get that out there. I don't offend nobody. You know, it's not that we're afraid, but obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, God requires us to obey also. And so we're not above the law. We're not exempt. You know, we talked a little bit about being exemption from the rule. You know, I know some of y'all know this song. Gwen, I'm bothering you. There is no exception to the rule. We've all have played a fool. You know where I'm going. You know where I'm going on. I know Tawana know about that too. You know, we've all been foolish. You know, we've all been, we thought we was except, you know, we had an exception to do, go and do what we want to do. No, that ain't what it's all about. God said, look, I didn't call you out to do sacrifices, but that you will obey my voice. And we got to obey the commandments of God. We got to obey. Not that we laying our life down for this government. Nope. You know, we know that there is an extent that we got to obey them to. You know, so I just want to get that out there. You know, I'm not trying to offend nobody. You know, I'm not trying to shake nobody's faith. All of our faith is in Christ. I know that. You know, so, but I just want to be the first partaker of the fruit and be obedient to the shepherdess and the angel of this church. So I thank the Lord for just keeping us. I thank him for where he brought us from. Man, as I look back over my life, you know, if we had true testimony, we just go ahead and open it up to testimony service. I ain't talking about what he did yesterday. I'm talking about a testimony service. Where God brought you from, we'll be here all day testifying. That'd be just one big testifying service. We wouldn't have to preach. We've been preached to each other. We wouldn't have to teach. We've been taught each other. Yep. You know, so I thank him from where he brought me. I thank him for my wife, my children. And I just thank God for just being God out there. You know, a lot of times we say the Lord says our steps are ordered. And we better know that our steps are ordered in the Lord. But sometimes you're going the way God take you. It's just like, Lord, is this really you? You know, is this the right way? Am I hearing you right? You know, or is this me? And you start searching, you know, for an answer. And God's, this the way that I want you to go. And he was showing me this morning as I was praying. He said, we know our steps have been ordered of God. He said, let his word be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. So every time you think you're going down, this is what he was telling me this morning. Every time you think you're going down a dark path, Al, when you plant your feet, every step, if it don't light up, then you're going down the wrong path. If you ain't following my word, you're going down a dark path. You're going down the wrong road. But every step that we make, it's supposed to light up. Because the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God is not going to mislead us. And God don't dwell in darkness. You know? So when we're walking down that path and things, you're feeling comfortable and you know that, well, Lord, I believe this is you telling me to go that way. You know? And I feel comfortable. But don't let me feel so comfortable to get off into my emotions and my feelings. You know, I want to make sure this is you. So God is just a great God. I thank God for my pastor, as always. I thank the Lord for allowing me to stand in her stead whenever he does. You know, it's an honor. It's an honor and it's a privilege. And I do take it serious. You know, I'm going to be reading out the book of Jeremiah chapter 32. God is just, he's got me on this, I was telling Pastor this morning, he's got me on this restoration tip, as we would say, reviving, bringing back. You know, I can't get away from it. You know, I search and I always find myself stuck right there. God is restoring. He's going to revive. He's going to bring back. And if we look, you look out there, you know, if ever time there is to be a restoration and a reviving, this is the time. I mean, the world, the church, we all just need to be restored and revived in some fashion, form, or some matter. We need to be brought back to life. There's some dead situations out there. We're alive in Christ. But sometimes your situation that's in front of you that belongs to somebody else can make a little, make you feel a little dead. You know, because you're tired of hearing the same old. You're tired of seeing the same old. You're tired of going through the same old. But God just telling us, look, your steps are ordered. Just, I got a plan. Just hang on in there. You know, look, just hang on in there with me, Kobe, Al, and Joshua. That's why I got a plan. But my plan, I had to think on my plan. I'm going to come up with a plan. God ain't coming up with no plan. God got a plan. We just got to stay and hang on in there. That's all. This race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but it's given to those that endure to the end. We ain't got to the end yet, but we just got to hang on in there. You know, so God ain't got to be thinking about what he going to do. It was already laid out before the foundations of the world. It's like, okay, this is your steps. That's your step. This your, you go that way. You go that way. You go that way. All roads leads to heaven if we in God's plan. So God got a plan this morning. He's got a plan tomorrow morning. He's got the plan the next day. God's got a plan. And I just thank God for just being God, because, man, if some of us, some of the people that we look to was in charge, we had to depend on them, we'd be in bad shape. You know, this thing would be messed up totally, way worse than what it is now. If I was in charge, you know, Lord, I'm sick of them. You know, I'm finna just get rid of them right away and nip it in the bud. Well, if God nipped me in my bud, I've been gone a long time ago. So God is a patient God. You know, he suffered and waited long for the precious fruit, he says, because God knows that, you know, there's a fruit is about to be blossomed. Fruit is going to come in due season. Your fruit is going to come in due season because God, he got something, as Keith say, up his sleeve. And he ain't no magician. He's almighty. He's a powerful God. He ain't got to do no tricks. You know, he ain't got to wiggle his hand and be doing something over there with that hand. He ain't got to trick you. You know, God going to show you face to face what he going to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity. As always, God, I ask, God, that you would use me, God, for the time, God, that you have allotted me to stand before your people. I pray, God, today, God, that you will anoint me, God. Speak to me and speak through me, Lord, that I will get, God, your point across to the people, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, I do pray. Give God some praise this morning. Give him some glory. I know we're small in number, but as God said, I didn't choose Israel because they were a great amount of people. I chose them because they were small. You know, I didn't choose. God don't choose like we choose. You know, because it's a few of us here, we still got to give God some glory. We still got to praise him. I mean, when the house get packed, then I guess we all feel like Lord, we going to praise you, because I know my neighbor going to be praising you. I know this person over here going to be praising you. Do it because God deserved the praise. You know, don't do it because we say praise him. Praise him. You know, he said praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We got to give God some glory. You know, we got to still clap them hands and stump those feet like the house is full, because it is full. When God is in the house is full. You know, if God ain't here, then yeah, we got something to be quiet about. You know, we should hear some crickets, you know. But God is in the house. We're supposed to let him know, Lord, we acknowledge your presence. You know, we acknowledge you, Lord, this morning. We love you this morning. We're going to clap our hands. We're going to stump those feet. You know, get up here, Brother Hearns. We're going to stump a hole in this platform. You know, we can put it back together. You know? We can do it. So God is good. I'm going to start at the very first verse. I didn't put no title on this because I don't know it can go either way. I don't know. But anyway, yes, Lord, have your way. Said the Jeremiah 32, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadrezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, the king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore thou dost thou prophesy and say, thus said the Lord, behold, I will bring this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and it shall, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, the king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak to him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall be unto him, and there shall he be until I visit him, said the Lord. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not prosper. It is the king. They already got besieged, and the Babylonians and already come in and did what God said he was going to do. But he got mad at the prophet because the prophet had gave him a word. They say, look, not only going to take Jerusalem, he going to take Judah too. And you're going to see that he's going to take. You're going to look him in his eyes. Y'all going to speak. And the king called himself, I guess, stopping God's word because he locked up the prophet. You can lock us up, but that ain't going to stop God's word. Come on. God, whatever God says is going to happen. It's going to be. And so he called himself putting Jeremiah out of commission. But you can't put God out of commission, because if God is for you, he's more than the whole world against you. You know, and then and Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, here come another word. Behold, as they say, Hanameel, the son of Shalom, thine uncle shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field, that is Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine. So Hanameel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is the country of Benjamin. For the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Here it is. God gave him this other word. Your cousin gonna come and say, look, Jeremiah, I got some land, man. I got some property. I want you to come and buy it. You know, it's yours. You know, you're next in line. What we got to understand, what he talking about, you're next in line to buy it. He just couldn't sell it to anybody, because the Levitical law teaches that, look, when you have property and you sell it, and if you want it back, you have the right first to come and buy it back. But if you don't have what it takes, you don't have the means of buying that property back, you broke, you know, you ain't got no money, then the next of kin is this person that's supposed to be able to come and buy that property. So he's telling him, look, you're my next of kin. Jeremiah, come on, buy this property. You know, God sent me to you. It's yours. And so, and he said, and I bought the field of Hanameel, mine uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law of the custom and that which was open. That's a whole sermon in itself. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, in the sight of Hanameel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witness that scribed the book of the purchase before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both sealed and that which is sealed, and the evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel that it may continue there many days. Go and lock this thing up. Here's the receipt. Here's the deed, the deed of sale. It belongs to me. I want you to put it up in this earthen so it'll last long. So I don't know why I'm doing it, because God told me to do it. Sister, God said also that the Chaldeans are going to come and take this land. But go and do what I say do anyway. I don't know what's going to happen to this land. For thus said the Lord, the host of God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed in this land again. That's what's going to happen. He said, buy some property. It's a good investment. It's a good investment. Go and buy this property, Jeremiah. But it's going to be messed up. But buy it anyway. I don't want to get too far in front of myself. Now, after that, Jeremiah begins to pray. 16 on down. I don't want to read it. He begins to pray and tell God how great he is. You know, he remember how he brought Israel out of Egypt, and he brought them out. Not only when he brought them out, they came out with great substance. And so when God tell you to do something that don't seem right, you begin to pray and you say, Lord, yes, I'm doing it anyway because I'm going to obey. And then you start recollecting also. You start thinking back on what God has done for you. Yeah, Lord, you done this. You healed me when I wasn't feeling good that day. And, you know, I had this migraine. Lord, all you said was, I love you. And then I got healed. And you told me, Lord, to go here, and you're going to bless me wherever I go. And he began to just tell God how great he is. And then he goes on down here, verse 25. And God told him that he was, let's go to 24. Behold, the mounts that are come unto the city to take it. And the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it. Because the sword and the famine and the pestilence and what thou hast spoken is come to pass. And behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money and take witnesses, for the city is given into the Chaldeans. In other words, Jeremiah said, since, Lord, I've seen all of this stuff go on. I'm seeing it happen right before me. They done besieged Jerusalem. Now they come and you tell me they're going to come to Judah and take this land. But yet you said buy the field anyway. God said, yes, buy it anyway. He said, you want me to buy some land that you just told me that's going to be desolate, plagues running through it. It ain't going to be worth nothing, but you want me to buy it, Lord. Like when God told me, Lord, he said, Al, if you get that house away, not sell it, I'll do thus and thus and thus and thus. I'll give you another house. Lord, you telling me that I got a house that's paid for, tenants living in it? You want me to give it away? Yes, I want you to do it. Don't you know, Lord, that Mary Warren and all them other realtors are calling me? They're asking me to, you know, do you want to sell this land? And I'm telling them, no, not yet. I got to wait till the price go up. Let me fix on it a little bit. Let me make it beautiful a little bit. And then you can come and buy it. That's why I tell them, you know, you can have this property, but I know if you come right now the way it is, you ain't gonna want to give me nothing. And I ain't gonna be satisfied with the price that you're trying to give me. But God said, give it away, not sell it. I said, you don't want me to, and then I can pay tithes. Tithes would be good, Lord. Give it away. Oh, Jeremiah didn't go through all what I went, I don't guess it don't read. Because I ain't kidding. Y'all heard this story before. I was validating this word. You know, I was making sure that it was God. Pastor, do you think God would, you know, tell me to give a house away? You know, I got a house and I'm cooking it up real good. You know, it's real good. You know, it's beneficial to the family. You know, $600 up, $600 down. No, that's good money, Lord. You know, Pastor, you think? Well, I didn't get the right answer. And the Lord said, well, I don't know why you're trying to validate my word. I don't know why you're trying to ask above me. You know, who's above me? I gave you an order. I gave you a commandment. Jeremiah, go by that field. He said, okay, Lord. But God had something in mind. You know, God had a plan, like we were saying this morning. God always got a plan. God's got a plan for everything. His plan, from what I'm understanding, it seemed like the ending was written at the beginning. Then he said, we're going to start it all. Go ahead and get it started. There you go. There you go. You know, here's the author. Here's the finisher. Start writing. Once we're going to write this book, Heavenly Host going to know the end at the beginning. So God already knew in the beginning what the outcome is going to be. You know, we just don't know. But God got a plan. He's letting us know that, okay, now God is about to exercise some eminent domain. You know, have y'all ever heard of eminent domain? How the government come? You know, well, we want something. It looks really lucrative. It can benefit not just us, but it's going to benefit the public. You know, it's got to be for everybody's, you know, sake. So God said, look, I'm going to exercise some eminent domain. And that power, you know, the government or the municipality has the power, you know, to take private property. But they say it's got to be at a reasonable price. You know, what's reasonable, Mr. Mayor? You know, people sit in these places where, like over in New City, they finna build this great big old, they finna put a Costco down on Olive. And they calling all the community together and say, look, this is what we're going to do. And we need this land. Here's what we're going to offer you. Some said, it just ain't enough. You know, what you want to do for me, man, I can't go and buy no another house. You know? And so, God is finna exercise some eminent domain. You know, there is private property out there, but we know that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The whole world belongs to God and they that dwell therein. And when they started exercising this eminent domain, they had this amendment in there where they can change the condition to design to improve what they want. So in other words, they're saying they got some revised, some revisions, some alterations, some modifications, and some modified versions. God is about to make some alterations and some modifications down here in this earth because we need a change down here. And that's what they were saying with this eminent domain. We need a change down here. The people need a change. So we got to take this land. You know, we got to take it. We got to, you know, do something better with it. But that's why God told Jeremiah to go ahead and buy this land because I got a plan, Jeremiah. I got to alter this thing. Because the people had already messed up. They called their children to walk through the fire. They worshiping Baal. They doing all kind of stuff. And they say this, they going to do it because they want to be, it's got to be converted into public use. For the public says. And the devil got people out here doing all kind of things in the street. Prostituting, killing, murdering folk. Literally young men around here sagging, showing their behinds, literally got their behinds out. Yes, the devil is using them for public use, but it's for no good reason, for no good use. But God had a plan. He said, look, I got to get these people and I got to convert them for a public use also. God is saying, look, I'm going to do some alteration. I'm going to do some modification. I'm going to do some changing around here, Jeremiah. God is telling us he's going to do some changing around here. Yeah, the Chaldeans, the devil going to come in and just come in. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. We're seeing what the devil is doing every day. But God got a plan. God say, I got to do some changing. But I don't know when God is going to do the changing. I know a lot of folks saying, when, Lord? We keep hearing about this restoration. We keep hearing about reviving the stones. He said, just hang on. I'm going to do some changing. God going to raise up some people to go out in these highways and hedges. He's going to make those people that what the world call no good. That's what Jeremiah said. Well, Lord, you want me to buy this no good land? It's going to be worth nothing. He told Jesus to do what? Jesus, son, we got to buy them back. They are out of control down there. What can we do? Well, Father, I go. We got what it take. The devil don't have what it take. He don't have what it take. We see what the enemy is doing. You get on YouTube, you get on any channel, you get on anywhere, you're gonna hear some bad news. The devil's out here cutting up. But he said, look, I can do it. I'll pay the price, Father. I give my blood. The devil ain't gonna give his blood. The devil gonna deceive you. He gonna have you out there lying. He gonna have you out there stealing. And then when authorities come, he gonna turn his back and say, phew, I'm gone. You on your own. He gonna have you out there doing drugs. He gonna have you out there looking at the dope man. Cause the dope man got on all this jewelry. He got on all these rings. He got this real pretty car. He might have a few fine women in there with him. And you sitting there like, man, boy, I sure like to be like him. You better watch what you ask for, young man. You better watch what you ask for because you can be just like him. You can be on your way to hell because that's where he's driving, straight down to the road of perdition. That's where he headed. So God said, I got a plan. I'm going to send my son down there to buy this thing back. We're going to take this land. God is going to take this land. God is going to revive. He's going to restore this land, the city, the county. God is going to do something down there. God ain't going to let them people go to waste down there. No way. God is going to heal the land. I believe God is going to heal the land, his portion. God is going to do it. And so he said, go ahead, Jeremiah, and buy it. And Jeremiah saying, you want me to buy this rundown, messed up, misused, abused piece of property? It's almost, I guess, I don't want to lose nobody, but but I was messed up. I was misused. I was run down. I was a mess. Thank you, Pastor, because I sure grant said. And not only by myself, you were a mess too. You was abused. You was run down. Didn't nobody want, they didn't care about you. You know, they didn't care about what you were going through. They didn't care about what you were feeling. And some of the people, parents don't even care about what the kids are going through. But Jesus said, I care about you. I'm going to come down here. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to spill my blood purposely for you. I'm going to buy you back because I'm the next in line. I'm the next kin. I can buy you back. And so he said, look, I'll do it. But it's messed up. But if I put a little work into it, Jesus said, if I put some work in it, it'd be a good investment. If I buy this rundown house, Brother Brian, it looks bad to the world. When my dad was buying houses, we moved from 1449 Shuttle to, we was in a great big old white house. 9 rooms. We had a house in the back that was ours. I mean, beautiful. And he said, well, time for us to move. We're going to move over on the west side. Why we got to go over there, Daddy? We fine over here. We know everybody. We must going to be a good looking house. We get over to the house. How we going to live in here? You know, I mean, you go in the house from the first floor, you can look all the way up to second floor to the river. And I'm not lying. And the neighbors that was there, Mrs. Smith, and Mrs. Carter, I never forget them elder ladies. They would come over and they would ask my mama, what is wrong with your husband? Don't y'all see this house is messed up? But my daddy didn't say a word. Jesus said, don't you know? The devil said, don't you know they messed up? The Bible said Jesus didn't mumble a word. Daddy didn't say a word. All he had was a utility knife, a hammer, and a screwdriver. And man, when he got through, he said, okay, Miss Smith. All right, Mrs. Carter. Mrs. Sanford, come on across the street. Let me show y'all now. But I said, boy, y'all daddy know his onions, as Ronnie would say. Boy, yo daddy sure got it going on. You know, daddy fixed their house up. He dropped the ceiling. You know what? All of that old stuff was still up there. He just dropped the ceiling. You know, he hid that stuff. Put the new carpet down. Got some buckets of compound. He started swirling the wall, putting those half moon swirls. And like, man, I know it costs a whole lot of money to do that. He said, no, it only cost me $5 a bucket. But it cost Jesus everything to get us looking good. And Jesus didn't cover nothing up. He didn't do what daddy did. He didn't cover nothing up. He took it out of you. He fixed it for you. You know, whatever was broken in you, God fixed it. You ain't limping no more. Like you was down in Lodabar, you know, Jonathan's son, you know. No, I'm going to bring you out of there, and I'm going to fix everything that's broken. I'm going to lift your head up. I'm going to strengthen you. You're going to be able to do what you want to do and what you need to do. That's what God did. And so they said, daddy said, come on and look now. Yes, it's a mess right now. But, you know, when God gives somebody a vision, sometimes just may as well, like he told, go and shut it up. I'm showed you, Daniel, and let's close it up. Ain't no need telling everybody. Cause they gonna get all off. They gonna say, you crazy. You know, he said, I got this thing. It's good. I know what I need to do. Y'all don't see like I see. We don't see like God see. You know, we don't see nothing like God sees. You know, the people saw Saul that he was a big old dude. You know, he stood above all, they say. You know, probably chest way out from here to Brother Brian. Yeah, Saul be a good king. You know, but God said, look, I already got me a king. Y'all go ahead, get him. I got a king. He a little bitty old joker. But he rough. He tough. He fought a lion. He fought a bear. He didn't leave my sheep. You know, I didn't find him hiding amongst the stuff like y'all saw when they called for Saul. What's all that? You supposed to be anointed king. Where you at? The Bible said he was hiding amongst the stuff. Yeah. He hid himself all in. I don't want to be no king. What you talking about? You know, now this big old man, y'all still want that man to be your king? I was like, no, I want to. Can I recant my vote? You know, no, we don't want him. Let's look for somebody else. That what John said, look, is this the one? Go and ask, look, are you the one? You know, or is there somebody else? No, Jesus said, no, you go and show John these things. You go and tell him that the poor had a gospel preached to him. The blind received their sight. You know, the lame is walking again. You go and tell them my report. You go and tell them that I'm the real deal. Jesus is the real deal down here. And if anybody can get this thing back in order, it's got to be God to get it back in order. He's the real deal. You ain't too messed up where he can't fix you. You ain't too broke down where he can't lift you up. You ain't too broke where he can meet your needs. You know, God don't see like we see. You know, we look at something real fast and, oh, no. Nope. Don't judge nothing before it's time, he said. Don't be judging these things. Look, don't judge that old raggedy piece of property. You know, if I had enough money, I'd go down and sit and buy all them old raggedy houses. Because I know what they finna go down there and do now. They already done started. You know, so God said, look, I want all the stuff that y'all, give me all the rejects. Here I am, Jesus. Here I am. Thanks for coming. Get me out that club. Give me all the messed up property. Give me everything that you don't want. Everything that don't look good. Let them come unto me. I'll give them rest. You know, and he said, look, once I put something in them, once I pour out my spirit in them, once I put them through the fire, they're going to come out like pure gold. Then I'll be able to use them. God can't use nothing that's broke down. You know, he going to give you something that he know that he ain't going to be able to build up. You know, he ain't going to give you no rundown house that, you know, you got to go and tear it down. If he got to tear it down, God got to tear it down and raise it back up again. He said, look, wait a minute. Y'all do error from the scripture now. And you don't know the power of God. I laid my life down. I had a power to lay it down, but I had a power to raise it up again. God can flatten that land down. He can flatten you down. Some of us been on our backs. I just heard a testimony this morning. Some of us been on our backs, thought we wasn't going to make it. But God rose you up, didn't he? You know, thought you was on your way out of here. But God said, not so. Come on back here. God can raise you up. So he said, if I put some work in it, then it's going to be valuable. It's going to be worth something. You know, how many know that you're worth something now that you're in Christ? You know, sometimes, I mean, when I wasn't saved, now that I know, that spirit try to jump on you while you're saved, try to make you seem like that you ain't worth nothing. You know, here you're a child of the King. You're a child of God. And you say you ain't worth nothing. Man, you somebody paid a great price for you. Spilled some blood willingly for you. How are you worthless? You know, you work more than anything. Have God ever told you to do something that don't sound right? You know, it seems like God would tell some people to do some crazy things. Have he ever told you to do something that, man, oh, Lord, I know that ain't under you. This ain't lining up with what I'm thinking. You know, this ain't lining up how I feel, Lord. He said, my thoughts ain't like your thoughts. You know, my ways ain't like your ways. You know, if God going to tell some people to start doing some crazy stuff. Yes, and we're going to start looking at folk. We got to be careful now. We're going to start looking at the saints like, what's wrong with them? You know, why they doing that? So now, see, that just don't make no sense. You know, and the people, when they just come out of Egypt, just come through all of this water on dry land, not no muddy land. The Bible says Moses stretched out his rod and God parted the Red Sea and they come across dry land. No mud. They didn't have to take their boots off and scrape them off with no rocks. They walked across dry land, the Bible says. But when they got to this land on the other side, they were so thirsty, I guess. They couldn't find no clean water to drink. And they start crying and murmuring and complaining. Like we were saying last Sunday, that's one good way of stretching out your appointed time. God got a plan and appointed time for you to get what you're supposed to get, but you can mess that thing up while all of this crying and murmuring and complaining, kicking your shoes, especially after God had just done something for you. And so they start crying to Moses, and Moses said, Lord, why you put all of this on me? You know, these folk, man, what are we going to do? And God told Moses to do something silly. He said, look, Moses, why they crying? Go and throw a tree in the water. And the Bible says that bitter water was made sweet. He told Elijah when somebody was using a master's axe, chopping wood, and axe fell off into the river or into the water. He said, oh, my God. Elijah. Well, I don't know what's, you know, that wasn't even my axe. I'm going to be in trouble when I go and tell him I lost his axe. It's in the river. He might say, well, it's in the, where at? Get on down and get it. But Elijah said, okay, look, take me to the place where it is. He took him to a place and God told him, throw a stick in the water. And the Bible said the axe swam. It floated up to the top. It stayed there long enough so they could even get it out. It didn't just come up and go back down. So it wasn't the bubbles. Let me let y'all know, it wasn't no big log. It wasn't no big log that he threw it over in there and the bubbles got on it and pushed it up. No, it was the power of God. And it stayed there so they can retrieve the axe. God going to tell some people to do some crazy stuff. God is going to tell you to do something crazy. You know? But know that it's God. God would, he going to tell us to do some crazy. He told Peter, walk on this water. Men, pour water in this pot. We want some wine. Pour some water in this pot. Woman, go borrow some vessels and not a few. And you keep pouring that oil until you can't pour no more. How many of us going to do some crazy things? But you got, in order for you to do that kind of stuff, you got to have some crazy faith. You just got to be crazy right along with God. You just got to go, look, Lord, this is my script. These are my steps. And look, this is what I'm going to do. Moses, throw down your rod and watch it turn into a serpent. Stretch it out over the sea and watch the sea open. God needs some people to do some crazy things. He said, Brother Al, move to St. Peter's. Yes, Lord, you already know what I'm going to say. I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. All them children, wife ain't working. Yes, I want a better place. Move on to St. Peter's in that house where you say you can't pay it. Yes, you broke, busted, and disgusted. But if you give me one of them houses that you got, I give you two. If you do this for me, I'll do that for you. And you ain't got to do nothing for me. All you got to do is just obey me. Just go on out there and watch and see with your little finances, $15 an hour, and watch and see, don't I supply all your needs? Not some of them. You're going to eat. Your bills going to be paid. You're going to have clothes. Not your old clothes. You're going to be able to buy new clothes. What I'm trying to tell you, when God say buy something, when he told Jesus, go and purchase these folk, you are that property that I'm talking about. You're the property. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. So we have a right to be bought back by Jesus because he's the next in line. The earth belongs to the Lord. The world belongs to the Lord. The people that live in the land belong to the Lord. So who has the right to get hold of you? The devil? No. Jesus got the right to get you back. He's got the right to purchase you back, to reconcile you back to the Father, where you came from, when your forefathers erred in the garden. Jesus said, listen here, man. I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again. You do error from the scriptures, not knowing the power of God. And that's where we error sometimes. We just forget about God's power. We sing about it. We even pray it in the world. But for some reason, maybe it's just me. For some reason, I let the word slip. I just forget about the Almighty God, what he's capable of doing. You know, we can't focus on our situations and our circumstances where we are right now. But the only way we can get past where we are is keep our eyes on Christ. You got to keep your eyes on the Lord. And so many of us, me too, we get in the situation, we get in the bind, and that's all we do. We walk and we pace that floor. We wear the carpet out. What am I going to do with this here problem, Lord? Lord, what am I going to do with this here problem? The same, what am I going to do? You wear it out before you know it. So now, Lord, I need some new carpet. I done wore the carpet out. You know, what am I going to do? He said, come unto me. All you the burden and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Give it to him and move on. Keep your eyes on him. God may lead you in the wilderness, but he ain't going to leave you there. He may lead you in the lion's den, but he won't leave you there. He may lead you in the fiery furnace, but God won't leave you there. He may lead you in, but one thing for sure, you better know that God is going to bring you out of it. There is an out to your end. Whatever God brings you to, God is going to bring you through it. God is going to restore life. We got to stop seeing ourselves as grasshoppers. You know, and when he told them to go over there and take the land, there's some old land. Go. I went before you already. I done searched it out. You can handle it. But we got to know it's just not us. When they go and search the land out, they come back. We only get two good reports. And the majority say, Lord, no, we can't handle that. Too many giants over there. Look, them folks so great and so big, we see ourselves as grasshoppers. Man, we got to stop looking at ourselves like that. You know, when we look at ourselves, we should see sons and daughters of God. When I look and think about who I belong to and whose I am, man, there is nothing, not absolutely nothing that I don't think that I'm capable of doing. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Anything, you know. Yes, sometimes I feel like I said, but Lord, you say it. The devil try to creep up in there and put that fear in you. But Lord, no, you said I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do anything because Lord, I'm more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You got to stop looking at yourself as if though that you are less than. All the time. Sometimes I know we can look at ourselves and say, well, I'm less than that person. He can preach real good. He can speak real good. He can build this real. He's got it going on. And you just started shrinking your faith, you know, belittling yourself, taking yourself right on out of the picture where God put you in. We got to stop looking at ourselves that we're less than, because you know what? We're greater than. We're greater than our problems. We're greater than our situation. We're greater than the enemy, because greater is he that is in we than he that's in the world. We're greater than anything that's out there. There is nothing that we can't overcome. We can overcome everything, every obstacle that comes our way, because it's not us that's doing it, no way. It's he that's in we. That's why we're great. Because the great I am lives inside of us. And when we start lifting up ourselves, then there you go. When we keep lifting up Jesus and saying what he is to me, what he does for me, what he wants for me, our situation and our circumstances are going to change. Because greater is he than we that's in the world. We got to stop looking at ourselves like we can't do nothing. Because it's not us that's doing it anyway. It's him that's doing it. You know, it's because of Christ in us. Because in him do we live. You know, in him do we live. So you can't do nothing. You can't live without him. In him do we move. You can't move without him. You know, in him we have our being. You can't even exist without him. A lot of these folk I heard think they are self-made folk. I'm a self-made millionaire. I'm a self-made this. I'm a self-made that. You can't do nothing without him. Not at all. And it's God that moves in us. It's him that's moving. In our case, we got to look at our help. You know, anybody can do anything with a whole lot of folk behind them. You know, and you got your posse with you, and you got all of your crew with you. You know, even when you're working, I have to be careful about when me and my sons go and do some work and everybody want to pat me on the back. Brother Al, man, look, boy, you bad, boy. You know your onion, you know your stuff. I have to humble myself. This is D's and Sons outfit. I can't do nothing without them. You know, you can't do nothing without Christ in your life. You can't do nothing. See, we forget about the help. We forget about the people that's behind us that's allowing this thing to go on. We forget about Christ sometimes. And we want to take the glory. We want to take the honor. But our help is just as more important than anything. Jesus is our help. He gives us the idea. God gives us the strength. He gives us the know-how. And so our help is the help that's doing it all. So it's not me, it's Christ in me. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's doing it all. He's moving inside of you. He's causing your hands to move. He's causing your heart to pump. God is causing us to be able to walk. It's him. It's our help. That's why David said, I will lift up my eyes. I don't know about you. I'm going to lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. He didn't say all, but I'm going to say all of my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. God didn't need 32,000 people when he had to go and tell Gideon, oh mighty man of valor, come on, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to cause you to prevail. He didn't need 32. He just need 300. When he told David to go on down and kill that giant, David picked up 5 smooth stones. He didn't need 5. All he needed was 1. God don't need nobody for real. All he got to do is just speak a word. All he just got to just go and say, do it. God is saying, is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah had already said, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. And we act like that when we come to a spot in our life, a place in our life, that it's just too hard. We forget about what he just did for me. Forget about yesterday. Forget about just the last hour. God is saying, is there anything too hard for me? And our answer is, he said, look, God said, look, wait a minute, Jeremiah. After you just said, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. Now you're questioning me. He had to remind him. God has got to remind us sometimes. There is nothing too hard for me. I'm the God of all flesh. I can do everything. So your circumstance, your situations, the place that you in, I can bring you out of it. You just got to trust me. God is going to restore and revive our brothers and sisters. This is the land that God is telling us to go and possess. He's telling us to go and possess that land. Go to those hard places. Get on down there. Wherever I lead you, you said you're going to follow me. So we're going to see from this day forth, God, if you tell me to go, I'll go. He said, yes, it's messed up. The land is bad right now. It don't look good. Everything come across the television don't sound good. Everything is gloom and doom. But we still have good news. We got to preach the good news. We can't get out there and start rehearsing what they're saying. The business is going to fall. This going to fall. That's going to fall. They may fall, but what? Whatever fall, Jesus says, going to what? Rise up again. Yes, some things got to fall. There's a time and a season for everything. There's a time to kill, time to, you know, time to tear down, and a time to raise up. God trying to raise some folk up right now. He's trying to raise that generation up out there that people don't want. They wishing that, look, I wish he just wiped them all out, get rid of all the riffraff. I'm sick of them folk. Some of them folk are your brothers and your sisters in the Lord. You just don't know that. A lot of them your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Huh? Those the lost sheep of Israel. They're not of this fold yet. So yes, because we are on the good side. We just ready for it now, God. We just, oh, it's feeling good over it. Just wipe them all out, God. Get rid of them. Moses, he could have agreed with God when God said, I'm sick of them. It repented me that I made, man. I'm going to wipe them all out. And I'm going to raise up a generation out of you, Moses. Moses could say, yes, Lord, I'm with you on that. Because Moses ain't getting on my nerve, you know. I'm sick of these folk. You right, Lord. But Moses, oh, no, Lord. He's still interceding. We got to intercede for them folk, you know. Some of them, my nieces and nephews, my used-to-be neighbors down there, they, you know, when that go down there, they remember me. They think I'm somebody else in the family, you know. Hey, cousin, hey, you know, we all cousins. You know, hey, brothers. And I just, hey, well, yeah, you know, and I'm thinking, my kids, my dad, who's that? I don't know. I know he know the family because he said these. You know, I don't know who he is. But God is saying that this land, these people, they will thrive again because he sent his son to pay too great of a price for them folk to be lost. That's a lot of people that's losing. He said in verse 31, yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land. Assuredly, he said, with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus said the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil up on them, all this evil up on the people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised. God promised good to those folk out there. He promised good. He gave us his promise. He gave us his son. And we are that land. Jesus said that we are a city set up on a hill that cannot be hid. That's why God wants laborers to go into his field. That's why he wants us to go out there into the highways and the hedges. God has said, I'm the Lord of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Can I not do this thing? All I need is a willing vessel. And God, we know that he sent Hanamiel, Jeremiah's cousin, to give him that land. And Hanamiel means the grace that comes from God, the gift of God. And we know that we are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, because we receive that gift from God. We're going to be asked to do some crazy things. God going to ask you to purchase some crazy, go along with some crazy ideals that he's given us. And it behooves us to be in a state of mind to say, Lord, I'll go. Be like Moses. Moses going on out there in the world. Well, wait a minute, Lord. I go if you go with me. You know, I'll go if you go with me now. You know, send forth your glory. And God going to be glorified. And the only way he can be glorified is in you and me. Jesus said, Father, glorify yourself in me. In other words, I'm going to take everything. Everything. I'm not going to mumble a word. I'm going to take every whip. They're going to lie on me. I'm going to take it all for your sake, Father, for their sake. And we got to take it for their sake. You know, we got to give our lives. You know, you got to lay down your life so life can come from it. You know, we got to not be selfish. I got saved. I'm in. And that's all that matters to me. I'm good. That's good enough. It ain't good enough. We're going to go through. We're going to go through. But God going to keep us. He's going to meet your needs. And we just got to come to the realization that this ain't home. This just ain't my home. If this is home. Oh, Paul said, most miserable men are we. We are most miserable people. We think this is what we're supposed to be. You know? Lord, I want to get out of here. You know? So, hey, that 11 days journey took 40 years. They had 11 days journey to get to the promised land. Boy, they stretched that out 40 years. Lord, are we stretching this out? You waiting on us? We waiting on the Lord. Somebody said something this morning, thought, Lord, you waiting on us. You know, you gave us commandment to do things. Now we just got to, you know, command our hands, command our feet. Remember, you got to get out of here. When God say go, you got to go. When God say speak, man, you got to speak. You know, can't sugarcoat. I remember I'm done. I remember I was finna go and give a word to somebody that the Lord told me to give. And I'm just going to not be harsh about it, you know. I'm going to tell them what the Lord said. I'm going to give them word for word what God told me to tell them. But this other brother went with me. He said, can I go? I said, yeah, you can go. And we got there, and on our way there, I was telling him what God had told me. And he said something to the man. He said, well, I'm just going to try to soften the blow, bro. I said, well, sometimes we don't need the blow soften. You know, sometimes we just need to be hit. You know, we do. Sometimes you just need a real good punch in the chest, a slap in the face. What did God do to Paul? He didn't give him no soft blow. He didn't lighten the blow on him. Paul was going to do what he thought was God's will. They're going to get me some old Christians. Going to get me some old Christians. Going to lock them up, tear them. That was on Paul's mind. And God, the Bible said he got knocked down off his horse, off that mule or whatever he was riding, and lost his sight. Some people need to lose their sight. Some people need to get knocked down. You know, God knows how to deal with us. And sometimes when we call ourselves soft in the blow, you went in there and you pat them on the back and let them know that whatever thing that God is going to tell you is contrary. Yeah. You know, God is, we know he, you laying in your sick bed and you ain't dead yet. You know God merciful. How you not know God is merciful? You on your exodus. You finna get out of here in a twinkling of an eye. God has sent another word while you dying. If you repent, I heal your body. That was the word. And I left it at that. I love you, brother so-and-so. May God keep you. And I left. You know, brother's still sick, ain't he? Sick unto death. And look how merciful God yet is. Still, God wait patiently. He is a patient God. He's a covenant-keeping God. Come on, stand to your feet. I'm finished. Know that whatever's going on down in the city, in the county, it's just everywhere. Everywhere. I mean, I don't look for the news. My phone blows up with it. You hear about so-and-so. So-and-so got killed. You know, the shooting in the mall. You know, just senseless stuff. You know, yeah, you get tired of hearing that. But, you know, God, you promised that you're going to raise these young people up. You promised, Lord. I don't think it's written that a generation is going to be lost. Is it? Is that generation is supposed to be lost? People, I'm talking about a generation. This generation seems like they just lost. It don't seem like that there is no help for them. It don't seem like it. Because when you talk to them, they don't want to hear it. You know? They don't want you to tell them that they know it already. I know. You know? And so that's the generation. It just seemed like, well, Lord, I can't lump all of the generation with that few folk that I done ran into that's crazy. And they may be one of the crazy ones that gonna get saved. Who knows? But God promised to raise up this generation. God promised to revive and to restore. And that's all I'm just gonna believe. It's gonna be a revival. It's gonna be a restoration in this generation. God gonna move. I keep saying it. He's gonna sweep over the city. The cities, just not St. Louis. The cities are just bad. What was the deal with the cities? Chicago City. I mean, the city. God gonna sweep over these cities. God gonna, like he told Moses, say, look, Moses, they crying about the flesh. They want to eat flesh. They crying and whining about, I'm going to give them flesh till it come out of their nose. Well, Lord, how you going to do it? We asked God, how you going to do this thing, Lord? It's not for you to know the time and the season that he put in his own power, he said. How you going to do this? He got a way. Moses said, how you going to feed all them? That's just 600 soldiers. What about the rest of the folk? What you going to do? We going to kill all of the lambs and all of the cattle? You going to empty the sea and we feed them with the fishes? He said, Moses, I'm going to do it because I'm God. Watch and see, don't my word come to pass or not. That's what God said. And I'm a rehearse what my father said, my heavenly father. Watch and see, don't God's word come to pass or not. Watch and see, don't God raise up the generation. Watch and see, don't a huge revival, a huge change is going to come. And it is not going to be because of man. Flesh ain't going to have no part in it. Because if flesh get part in it, he going to get on the news. They going to Facebook him. They going to whatever, Snapchat. They going to have them all over the place. Yeah, well, see, I got, no, it's going to be all God. No flesh is going to get the glory. None. God is going to get the glory. It's all God. We were saved by grace through faith. God gave us a gift. He gave us an ultimate gift, a gift that I know that you know that we ought to be using. Everything that God put in us, we ought to be using. So I thank him on today. I thank him for his word. I thank God for just showing me and letting me, just giving me hope that there is hope to our end. This is not the finished product, what we're seeing. This thing is yet being produced and being made right before our very eyes. God, I believe God is shaping. And he's forming and he's making a generation out of that stuff, the mess. Just like he made something out of us, we was a mess. Big blob. And that's what we was before we got saved. Anybody need prayer? Anybody want to, come on, brother. Anybody want to come to the Lord this morning? Anybody want to come back? Anybody in the valley of decision about what they should do? They don't know what they should do in some situation that they're facing. God will give you instruction. He'll lead and guide you. Your steps have already been ordered. You just got to follow the instruction. That's it. You just got to follow the instruction. Anybody, we're touching and agree with you about anything. You won't stand in the gap for anybody. God is just a good God. He'll hear us. Dismiss. I thank God for you all for coming, being in the house, not for my sake. You know, I just thank God for, you know, for you all, your support. You know, how we're all looking for God to do something. I know you're not just coming here for nothing. You know, we're all looking for God, you know, whether to fill up the pews or get us, set us on fire and leave out here and go into the mission fields. You know, I was talking to Pastor this morning and we was talking about that very thing. I said, I'm going to make me a sign and I'm going to put it on the inside of the parking lot. As you leave, it's going to read, you are now entering the mission fields. Because I think if we just think that this building is the place to be. Yes, it is the place to be, but I still say this is the place where I get my fill up at. You know, I get my gas here. You know, and whatever I get here, I take it right on out there. You know, and hopefully maybe one day, and what you take out there, because I get asked all the time, where do you get your teaching? To be so young, why you get all this old stuff? I guess, you know, they looking for something new. Something that's going to move the flesh, I guess. You know, I be singing. I don't get mad. I be singing them hymns. I have my earphones on. I be out there be singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. And they be like, whatever happened to Kirk Franklin? I say, I don't know what happened to him. You know, this is just what's in my heart. You know, I don't know what happened to Kirk Franklin. It's just in my heart. And before you know it, you look behind, you have a trailer folk, you know, falling behind you. So I just want to be led by God. Yes, there's some things that I do desire, but I want my desires to be his desires. Whatever God desired, that's what I desire. Whatever his will is, Lord, I want it to be my will. You know, whatever God's thoughts are, Lord, change my mind. You know, it's set, but change it if it need to be changed. Because whatever God does is going to work. You know, we keep trying to make things work, make him do stuff. You know, we try to, you know, wrestle with God. And you know, the Bible said, you know, and he prevailed against God. He put a hollow hip. I don't want no hollow hip. I don't want to wrestle with God. I just want to obey him. Lord, whatever you say, do. I don't want to be walking with no limp. So let's just be mindful of this crazy stuff that God, I mean, you, when you read the Bible, none of it makes sense to me. Maybe that's just me. I'm going to dismiss with that. It just don't make sense. But he chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He said those that are wise, they must become a fool first in order to be wise. That's the word. That's the word. You got to give up what you know and follow God. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord God, we know, God, that you sent your son, Lord, to purchase us, Lord. And we know, God, that there are yet many more to be purchased, Lord. There are many more, God, that got to say yes to your will. Many more, God, got to be put on their steps, oh God. They got to be ordered by you, Lord. And we look for you to do it, Father. Lord God, we say, God, come now, Lord, not to judgment, oh God, but come now to save souls, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Only you can do it, Father. And we ask, Father God, as we leave this place, Lord, watch over us, Lord. Bring us back, God, at the appointed time, Lord. Let us go out there, God, and be wise as serpents, oh God, but harmless as doves. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray. Amen. God bless you.